Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 reads, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Now, when you're studying the book of Revelation, John, probably a little over 2,000 years ago, looking into the future, is trying to describe what he saw in terms that the people of his day could understand. And as you study all of this, you're going to find out that some people see nuclear holocaust in some of these things. And some people see political upheaval and things of that nature. But I guess I'm a simple individual because I look at this and I tell you what I see. I see exactly what it says. Folks, God designed this planet in such a way as that He holds it all together. The world is in His hand. Scientists tell us that this earth is built on 9 major tectonic plates. There may be other smaller plates, but there are 9 major plates. And as these plates move, if they, you know, they build up pressure. And these plates moving can cause volcanic eruptions. They can cause earthquakes and things of that nature. I picture it as God saying, okay, I want an earthquake to happen in South America, so He relaxes His little finger just a little bit, or He squeezes it just a little bit, and He causes an earthquake wherever He wants it to happen. Nothing, in my opinion, nothing happens without either God allows it to happen or He causes it to happen. I don't think God is going to give man the satisfaction of destroying this earth. I think He reserves all of that to Himself. Now, He will allow Satan to do lots of things, and He's going to allow man to do lots of things. But when we get to that 70th week, He's going to allow things, but He's going to cause things. So I'm just going to take a simple view here. I'm going to view it just what it said. Because John would have known what an earthquake was. And it's possible that some things had happened before that it caused, he talks about it, the stars falling like a fig tree drops her untimely or unripe fruit in a big wind. He's describing things that he's trying to show these people. There's some bad stuff coming. Now, this is one of 3 earthquakes that are described in the book of Revelation. None of them are good. This one is really bad. Now, let's go ahead and start to look at it. And what we find in these verses 12, 13, and 14 is basically a universe that's in turmoil. Do you realize that God uses lots of things to get people's attention? You think about it. If God wants to get your attention, all He's got to do is have something happen to whatever you trust in. If you're trusting in your riches, all He's got to do is blow on it and you've got no more riches. He can get your attention. If you're trusting in your health, I get tickled. You got all these people that run. They run themselves to death. And they get skinny. I want to be healthy. Guess what? You're going to die anyway. You know, yesterday I was at a wedding. This little girl, she used to come to church. She was a foster child. Sweet. Oh, my goodness. If Vicky and I were in our 40s, we'd adopt this kid if we could. She looks up at me and she said, "You got a big belly." You know what? She's right. But I'm sort of like Brother Brooks. He said, "Man's only given so many heartbeats, so why waste them on exercise?" The Bible says, "Bodily exercise profiteth little." I don't want to waste mine trying to be skinny and live the rest of my life when I know I'm going to die anyway. Now, if you're skinny, that's fine. And if you want to do that, that's fine. But that's not for everybody. But when God wants to get your attention, He can get your attention. How many times have people gotten their attention? He's gotten their attention because of something that happened to a loved one. Maybe a wreck happens to a child. Just to get somebody's attention to get them back into church and Sunday school. So I'm going to tell you, this is going to get some people's attention. This is going to be an eye-opener for some of these folks. We'll get to that here in a few moments. But right now, he's showing a universe that's in turmoil. He's showing an earth and the stars and everything caught in a terrible cataclysm. An earthquake that's going to rip through the earth with devastating power. The Bible, Jesus had already said in Matthew chapter 24 that there's going to be earthquakes. There's always been earthquakes, but this one's going to be a major earthquake. What would happen? You know, right now you hear of an earthquake that happens here and it happens there. Well, what if it was a worldwide earthquake? Or what if it was one that shook the whole northern hemisphere? I mean, you're talking about something that would definitely get people's attention. Earthquakes have very seldom ever happened right here. I mean, you may feel one that happens over in Oklahoma, but we hadn't had one that actually happened here, have we? But if it did happen, you'd start thinking, wouldn't you? You'd say, "Well, maybe I need earthquake insurance." Right now, you probably don't have it. These things, what's going to happen is this earthquake is going to take place. Almost with a lot of earthquakes, volcanic eruptions will take place. Great clouds of dust and ash will be blown into the atmosphere. It's going to cause the sun to look black or to be dark like sackcloth. The moon's going to take on the appearance of blood as it shines through all of the dust and everything that's in the air. Think about that. Now, this world is no stranger to earthquakes. When I was doing my sample thesis back in 1985, when you went to the seminary, you first went to the institute. You were institutionalized. And to get into the seminary, you had to write a 3,000-word thesis. It was called your sample thesis. And I wrote my thesis on tectonic chaos in light of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9, 10, and 11. During the time that I was writing this sample thesis, and Vicki was typing it, I'm giving her the credit, she typed it 13 or 14 times for me, an earthquake happened in Mexico City that killed 20,000 people. Folks, that sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Do you realize scientists tell us that in the last 4,000 years, 13 million people have died from earthquakes? In December of 2004, an earthquake spawned a tsunami that killed 300,000 people. In the years of 1811, 1812, there was a series of earthquakes in the New Madrid Fault here in Arkansas that rearranged the landscape of the area, and the Mississippi River flowed backwards for a period of time. I remember this one very vividly in 1980. I was working for Weyerhaeuser. Mount St. Helens in Montana, a volcano erupted. You know what started that? That eruption was triggered by a violent earthquake that caused a rock slide comprised of 1/2 cubic mile of rock. As the summit of that slope slid down their sides, pressure was released inside, and a super hot liquid water and lava immediately flashed to steam. The northward directed steam explosion released energy equivalent to 20 million tons of TNT, and 150 square miles of forest went under in 6 minutes. Spirit Lake, north of the volcano, an enormous water wave initiated by 1/8 cubic mile of rock slide debris stripped trees from the slopes as high as 850 feet above the pre-eruption water level. The total energy output was equivalent to 400 million tons of TNT, or approximately 20,000 Hiroshima-sized atomic bombs. That's just one little earthquake volcanic eruption. That explosion showered towns as far away as 250 miles with volcanic ash. That sounds bad, doesn't it? But that will pale in comparison to this one that we've just read about. The stars of heaven will fall down to the earth like a fruit of a fig tree that's shaken by a violent wind. Verse is telling us that there will be a tremendous, and I think that what he's seeing is meteor showers. That's just my personal opinion. We're going to find in other places where these are going to be volcanic bombs. This will get people's attention. This is not just going to affect a few people in Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming. This is going to affect the entire world. It will cause tremendous death and devastation. Whole cities may be buried. We don't know. We just know it's going to be horrible. Now, there's no stability as the heavens above appear to roll up like a book or a scroll, and the mountains and islands are moved out of their places by the devastating geological occurrences that are unleashed upon the earth in these tragic days. It's going to be bad. And I can't even describe how bad it's going to be. I want you to imagine that you go home this afternoon and you're sitting there watching television, and all of a sudden it begins to shake. And it begins to roar. And your house begins to move on its foundation. And I look out my window, and there goes Victor's house down the side of the mountain. And I look, and all the trees are falling over because of the shaking. And the pond out in front of the house, it shook so hard and vibrated so much that there's no water left in it. Well, my house is already gone. I'm riding it down the hill too. Will that scare you? If it don't, something's wrong with you. But now I'm going to tell you this. These people that are here, whoever they are, it's going to get their attention. There will be the unconverted, those people especially. You know, if all that's left is unsaved people, they're going to be in terror. But I'm going to tell you this, if there's saved people that are there, they're not going to be too awful calm either. It's a terrifying thing. He's getting people's attention. We're told that all ranks are overcome with fear. Kings that we're read about are the rulers. Great men are the government leaders and men of power. Rich men are those who control the wealth of the world. Chief captains are the military leaders. Mighty men are the celebrities and those who influence and have power. Bondmen and free men alike are affected. When this starts to happen, men will be reduced to the same level. Everybody's going to be afraid. You know, it's sort of like I've heard people say, well, when I get to hell, I got a shovel for you. No, when you get to hell, you're going to wish you wasn't there. Going to have a shovel for anybody. I've heard them say, well, when I get to hell, I'm going to sell lemonade. No, you're not going to sell lemonade. You're going to wish you weren't there. We need to understand that this will be a terrifying moment for those that are on the face of the earth. Fear in the face of wrath will be the rule of the day. I want to look at these a little bit more. What did they see? What does John see? As the earth convulses in geological and astronomical upheaval, men will see everything they've ever considered stable and permanent taken away from them. What did I say a while ago? If God wants to get your attention, He'll find out what you He knows what you trust in the most, and He'll shake that. Or He can take it completely away. Folks, I preached the message, and I preached it several times, but Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. You're either going to love the one and hate the other. And the message that I preached was, is you got to choose. You either serve God or you serve mammon. And once you make your choice, you trust in the one you choose. And when the bad times come, don't leave your money and go running to God. Trust your money to give you comfort when your loved one has died. Trust your bank account to get you through a bad disease. Trust your bank account to help you to get through a night when you're terrified. Folks, what these people have trusted in, the things of this world itself, don't we look? Think about that. Well, think about what I'm trying to say. When you go to bed tonight, do you worry that the sun won't come up tomorrow morning? You don't even think about it. Why? Because you're however many years old, and it's come up every day that you've been alive. And it's been coming up every day since the Lord put it there. You get up into the stars, and the same stars that was there when you were born still there. That same old moon keeps on shining, don't it? You still breathing air. The rivers are still flowing. You know, a lot of people put their trust in some things, and God says, I'll tell you what, I'll just send a drought, and let's see who you trust now. So here he's shaking the heavens and the earth, you might say. Here he's allowing their stability to become unstable. Can you imagine? Now, I want you to think about the chaos that this is going to create. It doesn't even say here how many people are going to die. But you're going to have people that won't have electricity. They won't have water. They won't have gas. This earthquake is going to disrupt transportation. It will disrupt communications. People are going to be cut off. Is that terrifying? You bet it is. They're not going to know what to do. We'll be shaken. The world will be literally seeming like it's coming apart to them. What do they say? They cry out for the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the terrible gaze of God on His throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They are recognizing that God is allowing and causing this to happen. They are recognizing that God's wrath is either falling or about to fall. They know that they deserve this. They understand the situation. They've come to a point where they are so terrified, they want to hide in the dens, or they just want the rocks to fall on them. Here's a world that has rejected God at every turn. They have rejected God. They have ignored God. They haven't listened to Him. They haven't listened to His preachers and His prophets. They haven't listened to Sunday school teachers. They didn't listen to moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. They didn't listen to anybody that tried to tell them about Jesus, that warned them to flee the wrath to come. They didn't listen when God tried to get their attention earlier in their life. They didn't pay attention to the Holy Spirit. They're lost as a goose in a snowstorm, and that's all they want to do is call for the rocks to fall on them. They've denied the Lord. They've denied the Son. They've embraced Satan and his false Christ. They've turned their back on everything that is about God, and now they realize they're facing Him in judgment. They realize that they deserve this. What do they seek? They seek the caves and the dens of the earth. They're running in terror is what they're doing. They're looking to find refuge from what? From the presence of the face of God. They're going to become like cavemen. They want to hide themselves from God and Jesus. They want to hide. Do you realize, folks, that you can run, but you can't hide from God? You can't hide from Him. God knew exactly where Adam was when Adam had sinned. He didn't ask Adam where he was for Adam's, for his benefit. He already knew. He wanted Adam to see where he was. Where was Adam? He was hiding from God because he knew he had sinned against God. He didn't want to face the music. He didn't want to face him. And man's going to do that whenever this earthquake hits. He's going to seek to hide themselves, you know? They use a very strange statement here. They say they want to hide themselves from the wrath of the Lamb. Folks, do you realize that there's probably no animal more tender or gentle than a little lamb? He's one of the most helpless creatures on the face of the earth. And yet they're saying, oh, we want you to hide us from the Lamb. I think that tells me that they recognize who this Lamb is. They see it. Let me say this. I think every one of these people at some point were probably given a chance to turn to the Lamb. But they ultimately rejected. And now they're not being drawn to Him. They're being driven from Him. Now I know what I'm about to say is controversial in some places, but I do believe that a man can sin away his God-given time of repentance. I think God gives you so many chances. And then He knows, God knows whether you're ever going to trust Christ or not. And if you ultimately reject Him, He'll leave you alone. I read about a fellow one time. He said, I'm going to hell. And they were trying to lead him to Christ. He said, you don't understand. I sat in under the preaching of the Word and I felt the Holy Spirit condemn me or convince me that I was a sinner. And I felt Him draw me and I resisted Him and I resisted Him and I resisted Him. And now I can sit under that same preaching and I feel nothing. Why does that back up what I say? Because John chapter 6 and verse 44 says, no man can come unto me except the Father draw him. Folks, nobody gets saved without Holy Spirit conviction and Holy Spirit drawing. And when the Holy Spirit don't mess with you anymore, you've crossed the line. He knows that if He touched you 1,000 times, you'd still never repent. He's going to give you one shot. And He knows if that's all you need. You know, thank God He knew that if He gave me 2 shots, I'd get saved because I got a second chance at it. So what am I saying here? If the Holy Spirit touches you today and convicts you of your need for a salvation, if He convinces you that you are a sinner and He draws you to repent of your sin and trust Christ as your Savior, you better do it because He's given you an opportunity and you don't know if you'll get any more or not. Right. Period. So these people don't have an opportunity. They're not being drawn to Him. They're being driven from Him. And they're running in terror and they say, hide us from the Lamb. We, you know, instead of praying to God, who are they praying to? They're praying to the world or the nature that they've trusted all this time. They're praying to a world system. They're asking the world to provide a hiding place. What does Psalms tell us about Jesus? Psalm 46, in verses 1 through 3, tells us that He is a refuge in time of help. He's a place to run to. He's our pavilion. They're not running to Him. They're running away from Him. You know, one of the things I hope I never have to worry about is anybody that I preach to winding up in this situation or splitting hell wide open. Because these folks here have embraced Satan and his false Christ. They've embraced the Antichrist and now they must face the judgment. And they're filled with fear. Can I tell you something? Every one of these people are going to one day stand at the great white throne judgment. If you stay with me long enough in the book of Revelation, we'll get there. The people that stand in judgment at the great white throne are all of those whose names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. They are all of those who did not trust Christ while they had an opportunity. They died without Jesus. And they're going to say, but didn't we do this and didn't we do that? I went to church every time the door was open. I gave my tithes. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. I hope nobody that I know winds up at the great white throne judgment. But these people that's talking about here running for the rocks to hide on them, to hide them, they will. They will. Folks, he says to hide them from the wrath. There's two words in the New Testament used to translate wrath. One is thumos, and it refers to a sudden outburst of anger. It's like a shotgun blast that's over in a moment. It happens and it's done. The other word is the word orge. It speaks of anger that slowly rises like water against a dam until the dam breaks and the flood comes. Gives the idea of someone standing red-faced with their fists clenched as they try to hold back their anger, and then one more thing is said and they explode. Do you realize that God has been holding His anger since the flood? His anger had an end at the flood, didn't it? He told, He allowed Noah to preach for 120 years while he was building the ark. And a majority of the people ignored him. Just as a little tidbit here, Methuselah is a one-word prophecy. His name means when he is dead, it shall come. His father was a prophet. Hebrew tradition tells us, and if you'll do a little study, Methuselah lived right up to the very year of the flood. If you'll do a little study, you'll find that the Hebrew tradition says that Methuselah lived up to 7 days before the flood. Do y'all know when God told Noah to come into the ark? 7 days before the flood. When he is dead, it shall come, died. Noah was called into the ark. It was sealed up. 7 days later, it began to rain. God had had all he wanted. Well, folks, we've had these many years, and God's wrath has just been filling up. And it's almost to the top of the dam, and the dam's about ready to break. And when it breaks, there'll be no standing in its path. There'll be no one that can stand in His wrath. One of these days, like hide and seek, it's all coming. Whether we're ready or whether they're not, it's coming. What do they sense? Men sense that their time in verse 17 is up. That they're about to face undiluted wrath of Almighty God. You know what that word means? It's not watered down. They're going to get the full force of His wrath. They're about to get what man has deserved all down through the years. They're about to get what Jesus suffered on the cross so that we don't have to suffer His wrath. You and I that are saved, we don't have to worry about that dam breaking before we're out of here. We don't have to suffer His wrath because Jesus already has. And if we've repented of our sin and trusted Him as our Savior, then we're protected from that wrath. But all others are not. And it will not be watered down. It won't be tempered. It will be handed out in full force. Man's time is up and judgment's coming. And they pray, but their prayers go unanswered because they don't pray to God. And even if they did, I think it's too late. Nothing can deliver them from that judgment. Folks, what does that last verse say? What does the last verse say? For the great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? I want to tell you this. When His wrath comes, nobody can stand. Everybody that's trusted will be gone. And everybody left will not stand. They're going to suffer under the wrath of God. They'll die under the wrath of God. And one day they'll be cast into the lake of fire where they will suffer forever and ever and ever. Jesus died on the cross so that we might escape the wrath to come. But it's up to you whether you'll accept His offer. He offers it as a free gift. All you've got to do is take it. You realize you're a sinner and lost, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. You repent of your sin and you trust Christ as your Savior. He made it as simple as He could. The hardest thing about salvation is swallowing your pride and saying, I can't do it on my own. I've got to let Jesus do it for me. If you'll do that, you can escape this. You can escape that wrath, but only through Jesus.